Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And today we are joined by Adrian Kroc. What's up, Adrian?
Hello. What's up? Thank you for having me, for sure.
Yeah, man. This week we're covering Wedding Crashers, one of our Patreon episodes.
Yeah, great. Voted by our patrons. This was actually our... We decided February was going to be our redemption round, where we picked everything that had lost by one vote and pitted it up against each other, and this came out on top.
This survived.
Once again, beating Toy Story 2 by one vote.
We're doing it, Craig.
We're doing Wedding Crashers. This is the one that you guys asked for, so here we go.
Yeah, and we normally ask our guests what your relationship is with the movie, whether it's loose, you loved it, you hated it. When was the first time you saw this?
Sure, so I saw it in, like, when it came out, not opening weekend, but like that 2 month period.
Yeah.
And I was definitely one of those people that was like, oh, besides Dave Chappelle, this proves that Will Ferrell is the funniest person in the world. it was just like laying his claim. So it was cool to see, but definitely like old school and Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kinda, this is kind of in the bundle, eh?
Yeah. Where everyone's kind of comedy, kind of. If became you had more improvisational, and then plus 40-year-old virgin, like there was definitely like this move, which I was with. Like I loved it, but I hadn't seen it for about 10 years. I think I've seen it about 3 times in my life.
This is definitely, it's funny because you mentioned all those movies, and I was like, yeah, that's one of those 3 DVD packs you get at the discount
Walmart,
thing.
Yeah,
they're like 3 movies for $20. You're like, yeah. Wedding Crashers, Old School, and Anchorman, or what was the other one you said? Yeah,
40-year-old virgin. I don't think they were all like within like a 3-year period.
But it's all the same kind of style. Yeah, absolutely.
You buy the pack when you can't get internet for a month. Yeah, all right.
The best about those 3 DVD packages was it was always like, because a lot of trilogies end badly. So you'd have one movie that's just horrible, and you'd have to decide if you'd buy it for the first 2 good ones. It's like, you can get all 3 Ninja Turtles. It's like, I don't prefer to acknowledge the third one.
I guess I need a coaster. Like, yeah. It'll stop my coffee table from being ruined by water, but yeah.
Please, you keep Rush Hour 3. Yeah. I'll take the first.
Yeah, man. So basically, like, the plot line of this movie is that we have 2 people that have been friends forever, have worked together forever, and I'm going to call it working. They essentially crash weddings to pick up women. They go through a tornado of women in a very fun shout montage.
Yeah. One of the all-time great titty montages.
Yeah, huge titty
every
montage.
Every frame has a different titty in it.
Yeah, all perfect titties, by the way.
Yeah,
somehow, miraculously, all of these women have perfect 10 tits. I don't know
that's
how.
The only thing they're looking for. Every woman.
There was a casting call for that, and they're like, we need women who are willing to fall backwards onto a bed, show their tits.
I'm just saying, statistically, there's no way that would have happened in the real world.
Oh,
statistically,
no.
You don't know what's covered.
So we'll get into that a little later about the quality of the weddings that they're going to.
Young actresses inviting their families to the movie theater for opening night, smiling through the first 3 minutes, and then sitting nervously for another 90. Yes. Are you coming back? Are they going back to woman on bed?
Yeah. So essentially, they go to their last wedding of the season. One of our main guys falls in love with a character within seconds somehow through movie magic, and must have this woman. They lie their pants off, get their shit kicked for a while, and then miraculously somehow end up with both women that they wanted, no issues at all, and no repercussions for anything that they've done.
Yeah, they are discovered that they're lying about who they are at a certain point in that movie, and that's it.
The thing, and the bad person is the guy that's gonna get married to the love of his.
Yeah, Lodge, right? Played by Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Is that who you pegged as the villain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
he is the villain.
The movie's presenting him as the villain, but I think there are worse people in the movie than him after rewatching it.
Yes, I agree 1,000%.
Now, first of all, his name is one of the all time great movies. Sack Lodge. It sounds like a procedure. So already I'm like, because when we first watched this, I think it was my first time ever seeing Bradley Cooper in a movie.
Yeah, this is clearly early Bradley Cooper.
So you can really hate him because you didn't have him as like a movie star. You know, like it's really hard to ever hate. Like I can't hate Tom Cruise, even when he's in.
I can hate Tom Cruise. I cannot hate Tom Cruise
because he's trying to save your soul through the power of Xenu. But no,
is that a mummy reference?
No.
Wow, way to pick the one Tom Cruise movie that no one ever saw.
Yeah, the one thing where it's like you can't put someone in The Mummy who's more famous than The Mummy.
Right.
Like Tom Cruise is more famous.
Oh, I legit thought that was a Scientology thing. Oh, I was like, yeah, that sounds right.
Xenu was. But anyway.
Oh, okay. It sounded ridiculous enough so that it could have been The Mummy. Anyway.
The point I was trying to get to is just that when someone's super famous, you can never really get into their character because you just think of them as Tom Cruise. When I watch a Tom Cruise movie, I call their character Tom Cruise.
I see what you're saying.
I didn't know who Bradley Cooper was. So you just.
So he's Sack Lodge.
That is true. Here's my thing. Do I think this guy's a good guy? No. Okay, I don't think he's a good guy. Okay, no. He's not a good guy. But again, and to touch on what you just said, in my mind, he's not the worst person in this movie. Also, he kind of seems to be going into the right family for what he's doing. Like, the rest of the family is absolutely bananas, and this just kind of seems like par for the course for me, this guy. I'm like, I don't agree with him, obviously, going off and cheating a bunch and just, like, being, you know, like, this self-righteous person of, like, oh, well, here's this other thing I did. But to note that he is actually doing those things. And you know what I mean? He is a charitable person. Okay,
whether or not it's altruistic.
Yeah, whether or not we like it and whether or not his motivations are good, he is a charitable person, which is a lot more than we can say for two divorce mediators.
Okay. Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. Yeah.
Yes.
Who are, I didn't even write down their character's name. I was like, Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson.
I can't remember.
No.
But if your biggest issue with Sack is that he cheats on Rachel McAdams, which is shitty, which he does.
Yes.
Keep in mind that Owen Wilson, that's like the first thing he does is finds a woman who's like just dating at the time and attempts to seduce her.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, kind of works that. So her being in a relationship doesn't bother him. So if that's your only issue, then they're not equal, but they're both on the same shitty road. Yeah. Now, the other things that he is like kind of a douchebag, you know, is a little more specific to him. But some of that stuff I can defend, too. Like the rugby hitting, for example.
Mm.
Right. He goes out of his way to hit Vince Vaughn a little too hard.
Yes.
That's bad. But like purposefully giving someone drops so they will fucking get
poisoning somebody is like next level.
I would say is worse.
And here's the thing is that these guys, from what I've gathered, like watching this guy, Bradley Cooper's character, has a clear notion that these guys should not be here. There's something off about them. There's something wrong and there's something odd. So him like either like being aggressive towards them or kind of boxing them out a bit actually makes sense to me because he is correct. They shouldn't be here. They are lying and they are bad people.
Yeah.
So some of it I'm like, yeah, for sure. Like tackling Vince Vaughn too hard. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. This man's also a tree. Okay. Like the fact that he could even do that is impressive.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Like Vince Vaughn versus Bradley Cooper. You're like, I don't know. Vince Vaughn's 6'3". Yeah,
he is challenging the other biggest man.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't bully Owen. Mm-hmm. He goes straight for the big daddy. He goes straight for Vince.
Exactly. Right? And you're looking at a family that respects this. Okay.
Yes.
Like he knows what he's getting into.
He's cheering him on.
This is something that is condoned and favored in this family. Yeah. Like they like this. So is he wrong for going along with this? I mean, he's not exactly right, but I don't think it's like insane.
Yeah. I will point out, he does at one point shoot Vince Vaughn with a gun.
He said he wanted to scare him. Okay. So I don't think he meant to shoot him, but he was pleasantly surprised that he did.
Yeah. And he shot him in the ass with like a gun that's not going to.
Oh, like, buckshot.
It is fun.
I'm putting my foot down. that shooting somebody with buckshot, it's like, well, it's only buckshot. Like, come on.
I think he would have eventually shown remorse if he didn't find out the next day that they were pretending to be who
So he does hire the detective, which I think is completely justified because
it's
like, this is my future sister-in-law, Gloria Isla Fisher, who's just nuts.
Perfect crazy.
Perfect crazy.
Perfect crazy.
She's, but, she's great in this movie. She's a great character.
Yeah, but also that's his like future sister-in-law. That's like family, right? Like they've been dating a while. He's met her before, and all of a sudden she's bringing home this crazy guy, right? Who's at your sister's wedding, right? Yeah. That was they had a third sister. That's the wedding they were at, right?
Yes. Yeah.
At your sister's wedding, nobody knows who they are. Somehow they get in good with your father and get themselves invited back to your house for the weekend. Mm-hmm.
By the way, if anything I know about weddings, it's that all anyone would talk about that weekend was the other sister's wedding. If you just came from a wedding, like it would be all kind of anyone's sister. They forget about the third sister entirely.
Yeah, immediately.
The minute they leave the wedding. That sister is dead to them the second they go to the cottage.
Well, what else is weird about this was they leave the wedding during the day and go to this island. I was like, that party was just getting started. You know how expensive that wedding was?
Oh, like, I just thought that was rich people shit. I'm like, I just don't know about it because it's rich people shit. I don't know.
No, but what they should have done is they should have gotten on that boat the next morning.
Stay for the night.
Then we're going to go over there, wake up, you know, but anyway, that's also a small detail.
And this might be something that I missed, but is it like established that the family is actually biologically related? Because I've never seen a family where there's less similarities in each person in it than the Wedding Crash family.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken does not look and Jane sound.
Yeah.
Somehow both of their accents disappeared with their daughters. Their daughters both have separate accents to themselves. Yeah. And then the third forgotten daughter also looks different.
And the son.
And the son, who also is like a completely different fucking person.
I'm fine with that as long as they're consistent in it. Like they're like, sometimes you watch a TV show or a movie and you're like, they cast that so well. Because I like that looks like that's the son of that
guy.
Yeah,
true. Yeah.
That's okay. And you're like, that's impressive. But otherwise, I'm like, this is a movie. Just hire the best actor. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah. Like, you can literally have different races of people. Yeah. Like, I'll buy into
they're
it.
Family,
as long as you establish that they're all related. Like, I don't care. Just let me get
one
there.
One has
a
huge nose and the other is like 3 feet tall. And you're like, that's great. They're all related.
It's fine.
She called him daddy.
Therefore, they are related. Yeah.
Yes. One would hope.
Yeah. I will. We mentioned this a little bit. The quality of the weddings that these people are going to is unbelievable.
Well, I think that's the purpose, though, right? Like, I mean, if your whole thing is that you're a crasher, okay, and you have all these rules, you would be scoping for the highest. You want it to be almost exciting, I think, at a moment, because like they said, how long did they say they were doing it? Like 10 years or something like that. I have it written down. But they have 17 weddings to go to in the season. You would probably cherry pick the best ones.
Yes.
If it was me, I'm not going to go crash you know what I mean? Like, I'm not driving into a small town and going, okay, like I'm going to go to this hillbilly's wedding, because you're going to get your shit kicked.
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
I think you have to have a certain size of wedding here to even have the thing work.
Right. Like you can't go to a small wedding.
True.
You get found out like that.
Yes.
Like you're done.
You need to be able to blend in.
Yeah.
And they're like, we invited people we don't know to our wedding. And that's just the reason that
here's some of the horror. Okay, I would like to make not only the argument that Bradley Cooper's character is, I don't think he's a good guy, but I don't think, again, not the worst person in this movie. Okay, let's think about this. Okay, these two guys are crashing weddings. Okay, that's one thing. You show up uninvited, you catching some meals, whatever. But we're also talking about two guys that will cut the cake, will carry the chair, will do things where they're constantly photographed. And like in these people's photos for life, forever. And these people have no idea who they were. And it's like, okay, you're now in the background of all of my photos, which is insane. Or the foreground. You know what I mean? You're making speeches. Why make speeches? That's insane. And I know this is going to, but like, this is what really fries my noodle. Okay. Can you imagine just the aftermath? Because we don't picture any of these people talking after the wedding, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Because these women do find out that they're liars. They most of the time they do tell they're like, oh yeah, like I'm full of bullshit or whatever. Like I'm not really this person or whatever. Because at least they have the courtesy to do that on some occasions. Okay. You find that out. You go to your whole family. You say those guys like crashed our wedding. And you go, you mean the man that danced with my 3-year-old is a stranger?
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting real weird now, man. Like, people are...
Who was that?
Yeah, who was that? Because it's like they go out of their way to talk to even vulnerable people, which is what kind of freaks me out, is that they involve themselves with children they don't know, with grit. They're like, come dance with me, grit. Like, shit like that, where it's like, this is extra and super unnecessary.
The children thing did weird me out, but I'm going to take the exact opposite view of all of that stuff, where I'm going to say... that opening montage, I was like, oh, not only are they crashing this wedding, but they seem like they are actively contributing to other people having a good time. Like you're talking about, like, they're talking to grandma and grandpa. It's like, yeah, they're sitting there listening to their stories and involving them, getting them. So they're getting people up on the dance floor. They're getting the bride and groom to do something like fun with the cake. Like it seems like all the weddings that they go to, like, the whole line to sleep with Whitman thing aside, I was like, it seems like this is a better wedding for having been here. Like, and they would have to be, because they've done it so much that
they know how to... You're being
there's seen, a life of the party now.
Yeah, but you're looking at it from the standpoint of, like, because this is, again, we've framed these characters, okay? We don't see anything afterwards. You don't see the person that didn't get their salmon because this person wasn't supposed to show up, okay? Like, shit like this. Like, planning a wedding is a freaking nightmare, and then you just put two extra people in there and don't think other shit's gonna happen? Like, stuff's gonna roll out here. You're an imposition on somebody's day that's supposed to be, like, their big day. You know what I mean? Like, they've been planning this for literally months, and you're like, oh, I'm just gonna come in and sleep with a couple people you don't mind.
I think that you're, like, kind of on the right track of how they're trying to present these guys. Like, if you're going the case that these guys are good, you know, people. Because I was, like, looking up things about the movie, and that's kind of what the writer said. He said that it's not that these guys are going to sleep with women, because then they would be creepy. It's that they love weddings, and they love, you know, meeting people and dancing, and because they love that stuff, the women want to sleep with them. Like,
How this is presented at all.
What the writer intended and then what came on screen, now, are two different
things. Well, yeah, because if you have a rule book for getting with women, then that means that's your intent.
The rule book is very incriminating.
Yeah. Like, you're done. You know what I mean?
These are the lies you tell, and this is the order in which you tell them.
But because the scary thing is everyone laughs at the whole Stage 5 clinger thing. It became, like, a part of popular culture.
Oh, yeah.
But what that means is they've had so many women react this emotionally that they had a category.
They had a word for it. They had a code. Yeah.
Meaning, like, there's several women who have gotten attached and this has went very wrongly, and they've used, like, quick things to be like, oh, this is nothing new. A woman is falling in love with me. We have to abandon her immediately.
Yep.
Insert Stage 5 clinger.
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's a lot of women. I'm not trying to slut shame nobody, okay? But if you think about it, like, 17 weddings. Okay.
Oh, you're doing the math.
Oh, yeah. 17 weddings. Okay. And let's assume that's an average. Okay. Let's say you have some better years and you have some lighter years, whatever. Okay. 17 on average, and you've been doing this for 10 years. Okay. It's 170 women. Okay. If you're closing every night, which kind of sounds like they are. Okay. Yeah. 170 women. And that's on season. Like, that's wedding season. What's outside a wedding season? What's your bar rule book look like? You know what I mean? Like, what's the other plays that you have? Because I can't imagine that the buck stops here. You know what I mean? That these rules only apply to wedding. It seems it's the wet season.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like you're, oh.
Oh, that's a bad choice of words. Monsoon season is what I meant. Monsoon season. Bad choice of words.
But yeah, man. Like, these guys, like, it's kind of like they're trying to present them as rascals. Like, look at these rascals, like, running around, getting pussy. Like,
that's absolutely what the movie says.
Yeah, but it's not, it's not that way at all. Like, you just lied to a woman in a vulnerable position. You pick weddings because you think women want to be more attached in that, and that's when they're feeling their loneliest. Like, why weddings, why funerals?
Oh, the funeral thing. The funeral thing.
I don't
that
think
was
going to defend that.
No, and I was like, absolutely not. Like, no one's like hooking up at a wedding. I understand, like, it's romantic, oh my god, oh, you're single.
Oh, it happens.
I'm single.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, I was like, in no way can I even fathom that this funeral thing would work. Like, I can't even, given what we know and how good Will Ferrell's character is at this, I was still just like, no, that wouldn't work. Like, everyone's sad. It's like that was written by someone who'd never been to a funeral.
Well, I think that if you sleep with someone and then they ghost you after a wedding, like, that sucks, and that's one thing. if you sleep with someone at a funeral or directly after, you're going to remember the person. Yeah. Like, you're going to have a very clear idea of who that person was, and it's, I guess, ghosting's awkward language. Like, it's going to be taken pretty personal.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, back to SAG, like, watching it now and kind of trying to give him more of the benefit, I think this actually fits perfectly the villain was right, because he is the villain. Like, he's not giving anyone anything good.
Yeah.
But he's also right in that he's calling, like, a situation that he's seeing. But even at the end of the movie, when he's, like, you know, Rich McAdams is kind of leaving him. He's like, come back here. And then Rich McAdams' dad, Christopher Walken, is like, I never liked you. I never liked your stories. And then Sack responds, you don't know shit. I'm like, I'd rather have someone tell me I don't know shit than that they never liked me.
Oh, yeah.
That would really hurt my feelings.
Like, and it is like he is being controlling and that sort of thing. And he is. Okay. And I'm not going to say he's not, but I can also understand somebody snapping in that moment.
Yes.
I can really understand the concept of somebody having a bit of a meltdown. Your fiance's leaving you. You're
in the middle of your sister's wedding.
In the middle of a wedding. Like, it's like a whole thing. I get snapping. He's not right, but I can bridge that. I get it.
Your fiance's leaving you for a man who impersonated somebody else.
And has been stalking her for months.
Stalking
is the only word.
Yes. Not good.
Because they say he sent her, like, a million letters.
She does not want anything to
flowers, a kitten. Yeah. Like, that's not right.
Can I say who I think the real villain in this movie is? Lack of third choice. Do I think Rachel McAdams should marry Zach Lodge? No, that is not the right man for you.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to marry this guy, should you be with Owen Wilson, man that you've known for 72 hours and who everything you know about is a lie? No.
Dip girl.
Yeah, you go, see you later. I don't want to be engaged to you anymore. I don't want to date a crazy stalker guy. I'm just going to be single by myself for a while. That is honestly how that should end.
Yeah.
That's what she deserves.
I don't like Rachel McAdams either. I think she's a bitch.
What, the actress?
Yeah. No, not the actress. Oh. I mean, the character in the...
Oh, okay.
She is a treasure.
That's what I was going to say.
No.
What is she?
She's a sweetie pie.
Rachel McAdams is a national treasure, and I will have no other words on that. Yeah. But her character, because there's certain things about her that are really present. Like, she's supposed to be sweet and nice and kind of like the light in this bad family. But, like, she's also somebody that's very passive. Like, they're literally, like, ripping on her brother, like, right in front of her. She says nothing other than, ooh, I just need to get some air. Like, it was on her, like, it's her problem or something. Like, this was all directed at her. And she's like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, that poor kid. I'm like, I felt so bad for that kid.
Todd,
so bad for him.
You know what's crazy? I was going to say he is the villain of the movie.
No.
Yes. Because he has maybe one of the most indefensible actions, which is seeing Vince Vaughn tied up and then, like, making out with him and, like, trying to push his luck on it, which if you switch genders on that, he's irredeemable, like, for the rest of the movie.
Well, and even before that, her tying him to the bed...
Yeah.
And basically, like, and they even say it later. It's like,
fucked up.
Yeah, it's like, that was rape. And you're like, it is.
It is. Yeah.
And it's all played for laughs. And you're like, this makes me really.
It is. It is weird because he does say he got raped. Like, he literally says those words. He's like, I got raped last night.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got to get out of here. Like, I have to leave. And no point does Owen Wilson take that seriously at all.
Yeah, Owen Wilson, I think, it becomes the ultimate villain in this because Vince Vaughn is kind of doing this for fun. And then, like, he says here, I was raped. A dirty sock was taped into my mouth.
I thought I was sweating all day.
I'm going to have to go home and talk to my therapist because mom's out of the, like, mommy issues are gone. Like, this is a whole other thing. This is what his best friend says to him. And he goes, come on, man, just stick around for a little while so I can mac on this married woman. This or not married, but not married. Engaged.
Yeah.
Or soon to be engaged woman.
they get engaged halfway through. So it's, yeah. it's shitty the whole time. And the engagement is one of the Sack's shittier things because it's like a surprise involuntary engagement.
Oh, yeah, that I wrote that down, too. I was like, that's fucked up. You don't even ask.
Third option. go on a solo trip to Europe. Sleep around. Have a couple dalliances or whatever. Come back, get your life in order, but fucking both these men, just leave them. But
that is right. This whole family is full of sexual assaulters.
Yeah.
You know, the mother, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The mother is a homophobic fucking, which it's like this movie is like one. I don't know if The Hangover has as much, but really it's like, it's funny when you're homophobic. It's funny when you're like having sex with people and they're not really
into it. Yeah.
Like they have a few like really intense things for laughs, which it's an R-rated comedy and they went for it. But like, yeah, a lot of it's kind of like, holy shit.
Didn't hold up.
Yeah. This plot is fucking.
Yeah. Tough. And as you said, like you reverse, you're talking about the mother, Jane Seymour, coming in and be like, touch my tits, which is like played for laughs. Like how awkward is it that the mother of the girl I like is. But again, you reverse those genders. That is the creepiest, grossest
thing. I still think it's creepy. Watching that, I was like, this is grossing me out.
I guess my point is, if you don't think that's creepy and weird, reverse the genders.
And you
and
will.
And then you'll see exactly why. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very... now that you say that, I was like... Because I wasn't picturing Todd in that scene, but you're right. That's a nightmare. That's an absolute nightmare. But I do... the top end of this movie, I do feel bad for him because at a moment, like... the whole family, I think, are monsters, honestly. I think the whole family's monsters. I think, like, Christopher Walken's character is supposed to be, like, this, like, lighthearted dad, but he's really shitty, okay? Like, he's homophobic to his son.
Yeah.
He also says that his son can't paint, and he clearly can.
Yeah, the painting's excellent.
He's clearly, like, actually a great artist, and I don't know why, like, this man is just like, well, I saw him rub paint all over a canvas once, and I guess that's art. And it's like, well, have you looked at this kid in a while?
He's
turning out some pretty good shit, actually.
I did find it very funny when he's like Todd, if you first meet Todd and he's screaming at the ocean, and Christopher Walken's just like, you tell that ocean.
it's a bummer because it's clearly a family where the dad has a clear favorite kid. Like, there's a daughter that they leave the wedding fucking before dessert. Like, and the son that he, like, would chain to a radiator if he could. Like, it's, like there's no question who the favorite kid is. And that's obviously going to give Todd and the sister, who I don't even know, I don't even know if she's named. But.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, the original wedding sister? Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, Rachel McAdams' character also laughs through her sister's wedding, and I was like, yo, that's cold. Like, I get it, like, and I would want to laugh too.
Oh, with all those boating metaphors?
Yeah, dude, like, I've been at funerals I wanted to laugh at. You lock it down.
Yeah, tie it up.
Yeah, you're being a dick right now. Like, I get it. You're the one with personality. You're the one that the rich people haven't corrupted yet. Ooh, la la, look at you, girl.
No dice.
Yeah, no dice on that. No dice on that at all. Her speech was also shit.
So after they discover this is, I think, Lodge punches Owen Wilson out.
Yeah.
Respect as you should.
Yes, as you should.
And then we see Owen Wilson become the real villain of this whole movie, where, as we mentioned, he's stalking her. He's sending her letters and things like that. And... decides they're going to sneak in to this event dressed. He decides they're going to sneak into this event dressed as waiters so he can meet her.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Vince Vaughn at this point is like, you're crazy. The Secret Service is going to be there. You can't get in. He's like, no, it's fine. We're going to dress as waiters. And I was like, how fucking dumb do you think the Secret Service is where they're not going to check to see if you're a waiter? Like, if the Secret Service is at an event, they know who the waiters are. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a dumb plot. Vince Vaughn doesn't go along with it.
No.
And then Owen Wilson gets all pissy at Vince Vaughn for not supporting him in the craziest fucking scheme ever.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson starts crashing weddings by himself and ruining weddings at this point.
Although this does lead to one of my favorite lines, which is when Vince Vaughn checks on him. And this is after he's been with Chaz. He goes, oh, I haven't spent time with Chaz. We've been having a ball. It's like, you've been fucking. You're on a slow descent. Like,
yeah, you're not doing good. Yeah. Yeah. It's, so the breakup of kind of their friendship, which is played as this, like, oh, we've been friends for so long. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden Vince Vaughn's not supporting me. So I'm mad at him. Also because he's continued to hook up with Isla Fisher's character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
well, they are perfect together.
Yeah. And I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, it's just like, that's not a good reason to ruin this friendship. Like, your friend is actually like calling your shit and you're just not having it.
Like, even at the end of the movie, when it's like, oh, we're all friends again, it's like, the only way this ends well is if you two stay together for the rest of your life. Because if you break up 6 months from now, 3 months from now, you just threw away, like, you basically ruined your sister's wedding with, yeah, like, the whole confrontation, someone getting punched out. With, like, it's a lot to put on the line for a guy that you went biking with and played, like, the slap hand game. And basically had, like, a 10-year-old date with.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all their time together is literally what you would do if you had if you were dating someone in, like, sixth grade.
That is so true.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that that way, but yeah, absolutely, man. And like, that's something that I can't, like, it's like these, it's kind of like Love Actually, where I'm like, none of these timelines make any sense. Like, nobody would love somebody this fast and this intensely, you know what I mean? And if you do, then you might have an issue. Because like, we all get infatuated and what have you.
Sure.
Like, of course, like, we all you know what I mean? You start dating somebody, you're way too into them way too quickly. But normally, like, if I've gone on one date with somebody and I really liked them and they didn't call me back, that was okay. You know what I mean? Like, that was all right. I went, you know what? Didn't know them that well.
Yeah.
I'm sure at a moment they were going to bring out something I wouldn't have liked anyway. So fuck it. I don't need them.
And you're not going to be crazy emailing them and texting them and being like, what did you do to me? You know, like, you're going to roll with it.
And also, there's this concept of like, this is the person that I'm supposed to be with forever, and like, I deserve this, even though any of the women you slept with maybe felt that way about you.
Yeah.
And you just ran away. You know what I mean? Like, you literally have systems in place to lie to women if you see them again, but because you want this one, you have to have her.
Yes.
That's insane. Okay. That's absolutely fucking wild. Okay. Like, the biggest part of this, like, if I had seen this character go, okay, at least I know I want to get serious with somebody now, and go through a string of dates where he feels nothing, there's no spark, you know what I mean? Then I can start to kind of get on board with this character that's at least trying to better themselves, get out there and go, okay, I want something real. And then they discover that Rachel was the person for you, and that's why you felt that way.
Yeah.
But there was nobody in between for me to feel convinced that you need this person.
Yes. You basically got called out for being a little old to be keeping up with this. And he goes, well, I guess marriage is the next stop, and the one girl I can't get is who I decide.
Why is it the first one?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be the first one? Yeah. Why can't you experience heartbreak like everybody else and just deal with it?
I love the idea of extra scenes where you see him trying to date and failing.
Yeah.
And not quite making it work. The only thing I would say is, whew, that would add to the runtime of this already very long movie.
It's like a
2 hour, yeah, 2.5 hour comedy. Not 2.5.
I think it's two.
Could
have been an hour and a half.
Yeah, this is kind of, I was banking on it being an hour and a half, and I was like, this is still going on? Okay.
I think that most of the scenes that are clearly put in the movie to be like Sack's an asshole, other than the cheating, are like very circumstantial. So like this part where like she wants to play the slap hand, he's like, no.
I'm
in the middle of something. And we're supposed to be like, oh, he's not right for her. He doesn't want to play the slap hand game. When you could also twist and go, well, she's flirting with a guy. Now she wants to play the same flirty games with her fiance.
Yeah, that is.
Which would, if he knew that, rightfully be pissed off. I don't want to play your like secondhand flirt games. Or when he's like puking and then she's like, he's mean to her. I feel like shit, I was poisoned. Don't expect me to be nice. I'm fighting for my life here.
I have snapped at people when I'm sick, right? Yeah. They're like, are you okay? No, I'm not fucking okay.
Yeah.
For sure. Him being poisoned is one of the big points in this thing, I think.
Yeah.
Because like, also they acknowledge, he's like, oh, I didn't realize we got him too sick. So that means that you have no concept of how any of this works. You're not sure how much to give him. You don't have any control over this. So clear, like, you could have fucking killed him. You have no idea.
Yeah.
They could have killed him. They have no clue. And like, that was taken as like some very light shit because they were like, oh, look at this guy who's a dick. He's sick. Ah, that's funny.
And then while he's sick, she sneaks out of their room and kind of knocks on Owen Wilson's door.
Yeah,
that was, and he doesn't answer. while he's like, it was like, I think they clearly just were completely.
They should not have been together.
They were fucked up. And then this thing was just like the breaking point. But then you think, well, would she have just wanted to date anybody? Like, was she just looking to get away? And
this is an excuse. Yeah.
And Owen Wilson's the excuse. But yeah, they were like, that's, remember, she's known this guy 2 days and she's like knocking on his door.
Yeah, this is better than fiance.
She's at home with her parents and being like, I'm going to sneak down the thing and be like, is this guest here? Like, again, and that's also, like, if you reverse that, that'd be creepy, right? Like, reverse the genders of that. It's like, I'm going to go find this girl who's staying here. And I'm going to go in her room at night.
It's not even, like, you don't even have to reverse the genders. It's just like, you don't know anything about this guy. And it's, like, down the hall.
And why do you want to be, I don't understand why Owen wants to be so harshly a part of this family. I would take one look at this family and be like, I don't want to be a part of these people. Okay, I'm walking out the door. Their
butler guy?
Yeah, I guess he's the butler would be the best word for him. He has, like, what? Like, an 11-inch black and white TV? What year is this? This is the nicest house I've ever seen. You can't get this guy a little, you know what I mean? Yeah. A little flat screen or something? These things are pennies now, team. Come on. Dude, it's 2000, because I think it was set probably same time as, like, I don't think it's a period piece or anything.
No.
Get this guy a television, you fucking assholes.
You could afford it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't care for
that. There's a lot of,
he's just watching his
shit.
Story. He's not, yeah. This is wrong. I don't care for how they were treating that man, for sure.
And then think about the dad, okay? As much as he's like, I love my daughter, whatever my daughter wants, his fucking political career and like life with these rich, it's over. Everyone's gonna hear that at your daughter's wedding, a guy got, like, your other daughter's fiance got punched out and then she ran away with another guy.
That's true.
How are you gonna be a senator? Or
this
a
is a headline.
Like, this is high society shit. They're not gonna play with that. That's like,
that's an excellent point.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. News.
So you also have, like, really tarnished Christopher Walken, your dad's reputation.
Because they're even doing polls about the son going to art school and how that plays. Like, so everything's. Yeah, absolutely right.
How does
destroy them?
Violence and then like running away play in the news polls.
Yeah, not well. I would think.
Let Todd make his paintings. It'll do better for the family business than, like,
we like artists.
Fiascos.
They're all good.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, it's pretty reprehensible what they all do. Like, it's lying, cheating.
I just think everybody's a dick in this movie. I just think everybody's a dick. I mean, I attach myself more with Vince Vaughn than at everybody else, but just...
Well, he's a punching bag for a lot of this.
He is a punching bag.
He has the worst things happen to him, for sure.
I also love a man that loves syrup. Like, his speech about maple syrup. I'm like, that's me! What do you mean I don't know anything about me? I know everything there is to know about maple syrup. I put a little bit in my coffee, put a little bit in my hair. Like, how do you think it stays up slick? Like, I'm like, that's... That's kind of me. That is kind of me.
Love me some maple syrup.
Yeah, man. I love a good rant. You know me. He adds a lot of charm to this. It's like every other Vince Vaughn movie where it's just him being a dick, but like a charming dick. So you're like, we'll let it.
He's talking really fast.
Yeah, he's talking really fast. He's got a lot of, like, interesting concepts, whatever. Like, it's funny. He got raped. Oh, God. Ah, poor man. Although I love when he's like, that was a gift. I'm keeping that painting.
And Todd's kind of like,
ooh, okay.
He's like,
I gotta go.
Yeah, I like that assertiveness.
Bradley Cooper also has a scene I forgot that I watched this time where he's talking about, like, he's in some tribe. He's like, they looked at me like I was God, and for a minute I thought I was. I'm like, that's insane. And they're all like, what a cute story. It's like, that's
honestly,
truly
I just
bizarre.
Thought that's how all rich people talk. Like, I was just like, I think this is just what they talk about.
They sit
at
around
dinner
and like,
parties.
So when did you feel like God? This Saturday we went to all their vacation stories with, and I did think I was God.
Yeah, for sure, man. They're all nightmare people. I will never root for, I'm not going to say never, but very rarely would I root for a rich family. That's what I'm trying
to
say.
Rich for a root.
Rich for a root. No, they're all crazy. They're all bad people.
I also love how it's framed as this, like, I don't know why, but I've fallen for her. Vince Vaughn's character, right? He's like, I've fallen in love with you've somehow fallen for the incredibly hot, young redhead who is sex obsessed
and super rich.
Super rich. Yeah. Somehow that did it for you. Like what? Of course.
What
you got
topsy turvy world is this?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. That was the other thing. I was just like, no, she's still crazy, and you're also crazy. I guess what you're saying is the crazy is going to mash up.
It's going to work out because they're both like.
I don't know if it is. I mean, it's not like a negative makes it positive. It's crazy and crazy makes double crazy. Like
they have a higher chance of sticking out than Owen Wilson's.
Yeah, you give it to them.
I think so too.
And I feel like they have similar moral compasses, which I think is some of the most important stuff in relationships. Is that they both thought that it was okay to lie to the other person.
Oh, that's actually a great point.
Yeah, she lied about being a virgin. He pretty much lied about who he is. You know what I mean? Like, and they were both kind of like, haha, isn't that funny? And it's like, well, that's kind of actually the person that you should be with then.
Yeah.
Is people that line up morally, I think, have a lot better of a chance of making it because the moral stuff is generally the ones that are going to break you down.
That's the sticking point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the stuff where you go, like, this is the hill I die on. Like, generally, you don't die on a hill because they don't put the toothpaste cap back on. Okay. It's more like I disagree with this fundamentally and like I can't look past it.
Which is why when Sack is like, she's going to be done all that shit when we get married. I want a wife, not a martyr. Then you're like, okay, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. No, yeah, of course not. And not a good sentiment at all. I hate that. Obviously, I'm crumbling as a woman.
Every
inside.
Time Sack is speaking to that one friend, he's the biggest piece. I think the friend is the problem. No, I think he acts worse with that friend.
Yeah.
Oh, we all have that friend, though. You know what I mean? Where you go out with them and you're like, I never get this wasted. But if I hang out with such and such, like, it's just, I'm a monster.
You're bad. Yeah.
Because maybe Sack doesn't want to have sex with that bartender. He's like, you're the Sack, man. It's like, oh, this guy looks up to me. Sack can't let him down.
Sack can't let him down.
He's got an image to maintain.
He's looking at me like I'm a god. So I'm
I mean, Chaz is probably the worst person in the whole movie.
Yeah, Chaz is pretty...
Hitting funerals... although I think my favorite scene in the whole movie, the meatloaf.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's something I believe. I don't know if you guys watch this movie enough, but like that was something that I used to yell at friends regularly.
I think there's people that chant the meatloaf, and then there's people who go for the next line, which is, "What's she doing back there?"
Yeah,
I never know what she's doing.
Yeah. For me, the Will Ferrell is always old school. That's the Will Ferrell movie for me.
No, I'm an Anchorman person.
Oh, Anchorman. Like,
I've watched Anchorman 100 times. Yeah. Like, I have quotes from that movie that are passwords. I will not tell you what those lines are, but they are some of my passwords are just
somewhere
Will Ferrell
in
lines.
A 90-page screenplay.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites for sure.
Shouldn't have settled my passwords to Wally because it really narrows it down. Yeah. Not that much talk.
Oh man, yeah, I don't know. Everybody's bad. And also, I think it's weird how much the dad always gives in to the daughter. You know what I mean? Like, his reasoning is like, she wanted a sweet 16 on her 13th birthday. And I'm like, well, wouldn't that have been a great lesson to teach her then, huh? Maybe we could have carried some good things forward instead of having a full-grown woman hold her breath and stomp her feet in a room full of people because she's not getting what she wants. I don't think that person should maybe be getting married.
No.
That doesn't seem like we've had the emotional development that we need to get to adulthood.
Yeah.
I could be mistaken.
Now it's like, that's my wife holding her breath.
Yeah. I don't think I would tolerate that for very long.
Absolutely not. No. Anything else we want to share?
No, I think I've called them assholes enough.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to say it. Third option, ladies. Yeah. There's always a third option.
Yeah,
just
would have loved
off.
To see a couple of third options
yeah.
in this.
Yeah, just go. Just date nobody for a bit. Time to give our definitive ranking on how good the villain is.
Oh, I've got a syrup scale because that was my favorite theme through this whole thing. So I'm rating obviously Bradley Cooper's character.
Yep, yep.
He is the villain of the story. So from tabletop sugar syrup to grade A maple syrup, I give him a corn syrup. You know what I mean? He leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and he'd probably a lot better if he was just baked all the time. That's how I feel about him.
Nice. You got one?
I would give Sack Considering the fact that he does succeed in exposing them, but then is, you know, left at another person's wedding. I'll give him 6.5 motorboats out of.
That's a good one.
Nice.
Good one.
I like it. So I did the Wilson brothers scale. So from Andrew Wilson, who, that's the third Wilson brother, by the way, to Luke Wilson. I know this is controversial. I'm putting Luke at the top.
Yeah.
I'm doing
he's
Luke hotter, over
for sure.
I think a better actor too, but yeah. So I'm giving him a solid Owen Wilson. Cause he's good at doing what he does. When he's doing what he's good at, he's great. But you can do better. You can do better.
Yeah, you can do better than every single person in this movie.
Good old Luke Wilson.
You're giving Owen an Owen. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let us know who your favorite Wilson brother is.
Shit. Well, as always, there's ways that you can help support the podcast. Please, if you could, follow us on Twitter at VWR podcast, hit our Facebook page, The Villain Was Right, email us at villainwasright@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions, comments, questions, send them out. We'll answer them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can also, this was a audience choice episode. So if you want to head over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright, we have a tier where you get to vote every month on what we're going to do the following month. So this was, as we mentioned off the top, voted by our patrons. So if you want to have some control over what movies and TV we're covering in future episodes, head on over there, sign up for that level of patron, and help us out. Yeah, and you can have your say as well. And well, if you could go on iTunes, rate, review, leave us one quick one sentence review. It really helps us out. And yeah, you can always tell your friends and family about us. Keep recommending us. We really appreciate it.
So. We appreciate it. You're the best. Yes. And now it is time for our hero and villain of the week, right?
Absolutely.
This week I have, again, very there's heroes, there's villains. It's a time. I'm going to talk to you guys about a time that I crashed as somebody else's work party. So I used to work at a comedy club. So I used to work at a comedy club, and they would do this thing where we would have an afternoon show during Christmas time. We would have an afternoon show, and then we would have a dinner show, right? So you would come in, serve the afternoon, then you get the, like, whatever, 2 to 4 hours off in the afternoon, and then you come back and serve the night shift, right? So we're serving these people at lunch, and they seem to like us, whatever. And one of the girls that I'm working with is like, we should go. They're having an after party down the street. Let's go crash it. She's like, I'm pretty sure, like, nobody's going to say anything. Let's just show up. We'll get some free drinks. It'll be fun. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't have anything to do for a couple hours. Let's go hit it, right? So we head down, and again, blend in pretty easily. The bartenders aren't questioning whether we should be on this tab or not. I just keep saying I'm with different people. Doesn't matter, right? So we're drinking, whatever. We're having a good time. But then the girl that I'm with gets super amped. Like, these guys are kind of like, let's do shots. And I'm like, I came here for like two vodkas. You know what I mean? Like, I came here for a vodka soda.
I got to work out.
I got to work, right? But I have a couple drinks. I'm like, I'm mild. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in working condition, but I'm not bad. I'm all right. It's a comedy club. I think it's passable. Plus, to be honest with you, most people were drinking at this comedy club during work hours anyway. So I was like, oh, I'll be fine. But the girl that I was with got absolutely canned. Like, she kept trying to push it on me too, right? She's like, I can't believe you're not doing shots with us. I'm like, I can't believe you are doing shots. This is crazy. She's like, you're such a pussy. You're such a pussy. You're such a pussy, right? So we leave, and at this time, it's like, it's time to go back to work. Like, we don't have a buffer hour here. Like, we're going to work right now, right? Yeah. So she is like literally so drunk that she's froggery. Like, I'm worried she's going to get hit by a car. This is how drunk she is, right? And she's like, oh no, it's fine. I'm going to go to work. I'm like, you should see if somebody can cover you. Like, we should not be doing this, right? But I'm also a little drunk too. So I'm like, maybe you'll feel, I don't know. Maybe it's all in my head, right? We show up. She's so drunk that the first thing she does is take two Pepsis to a couple and spills both of them all over both of them, ooh, right? And they come up to the bar and they're like, we could smell the whiskey on her. And I'm like, oh no, she didn't even get fired, guys. This is how crazy this place was to work at. She got like a like probation for like 2 weeks or something like that. But I was like, I was a little stoked because I showed up and I knew I was too drunk to work, but I wasn't anywhere close to how drunk she was. So
compared
nobody noticed.
Smell the whiskey on her.
Nobody noticed I was drunk the whole time. They were just they were like, can you believe this girl? Like, she's freaking, I'm like, I know, this is crazy. Like, I just bailed on her so fast. Anyway, I don't know if I'm a hero, villain, who is one in that, but it was,
enabling villainy.
I'm enabling. It was not good. I don't recommend crashing anything. Please. I was a young buck, so we'll excuse it. I was probably 20 years old when I did it, but now I'm like, oh god, that's gross. So yeah, that's it for me. What do we got, Kronk, this week?
I would say my villain of the week is the dime. The 10-cent piece.
That's so
funny. Now, me and the dime have had a lot of disagreements over the years, but what broke the camel's back, so our lovely Toronto transit system, TTC, right, voted best transit system by no one 10 years in a row, is raising its prices by 10 cents this year, to which I say, fuck that. I'm not carrying dimes for any reason. Like,
Get the Presto card, man.
I know.
The man doing that. That's why they're putting it up by 10 cents.
First, it's the Presto card. Then they insert the chips in you. Then we're in a full Matrix situation, all right? I'm a caveman. I don't even use tap. Like, I don't trust the shit. So when it comes to 10 cents, like, what the fuck are you going to have me do if I drop in $3.25 and you go, I'm 10 cents short?
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's nothing. We've already gotten rid of the penny. The nickel is on fucking borrowed time.
It's on borrowed time.
So the dime is
a bit of a slippery slope argument. Yeah. You
guys, I'm saying let's just have fives. Just fives.
$5 bills.
Yes, that's it.
That's so funny.
So yeah, bill in the week. Fuck dimes.
Fuck dimes.
That's true. Although I would say that I don't think I've ever had, I've put in less 100 times into the, and no one's ever called me on it.
They don't pay them enough to care.
No. I just dump in a fistful. I'm like, fuck it. here's all the dimes.
Here's some buttons.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a villain of the week, and this is, my building, my apartment building has a Facebook group that I was, somehow I got invited to.
Sad.
I don't know how. And Kat was like, can you get me invited to that too? Because I want to see what's going on. I was like, that seems weird. I got invited because I couldn't say no to somebody. They're just like, if you give us her name, we'll make sure you get added to the group. And I'm like, ugh. But then Kat was like, very much, I want to get added in case there's something important. Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks go by and Kat goes, why am I part of this? She's like, I thought this was going to be important stuff. Like the tenants talking about like maintenance or like, you know, things that are going on in the building.
She's like who's leaving the wet laundry or something.
They notice. And she's like, this is insanity. So this is just kind of a list of things that are on this. Yay. And it varies. So one was this woman just posted. She goes, this is like a community board, right? She goes, I'm going in for surgery for a while, so nobody try and contact me here. Like, do you think that this is a personal message board? Or that's your primary means of communication with people is just posting to a Facebook group and hoping that you see it? Like, that's insane. And I was like, okay, that's that. And then someone else was like, I've got this half-used can of cat food.
Oh.
My cat didn't like it. Does anybody want it?
Oh, my God.
Just
put it outside. Something will eat it.
Throw it out.
How little do you respect your cat?
Throw it out, even. Like, what did that, like, 10 cents of a dime.
Don't get me stuck.
And then, so it swings from that when you're just like, who is posting about such mundane thing to such a public forum? And then it's stuff like, I was walking my dog outside of the one building and a Christmas tree fell off somebody's balcony and almost hit us and we almost died. And I'm just like, oh, that got intense all of a sudden. But the one that got me was recently someone shoved something down the garbage chute that shouldn't have gone down, clogged up the whole thing.
Tree.
Yeah, it might have been a Christmas tree. All they said was it was something oversized. And it went down, and it like the garbage chute was out of commission for like a week. Which, like, I'm up on the 10th floor. Bit of a pain to go down 10 mm-hmm. floors just to get rid of your garbage. But, like, whatever. We will persevere. but then this kind of goes into another pet peeve of mine where they're posting in the group and they're like, absolutely, the company is so bad at maintenance. There's no way that this repair should be taking this long. And I lived on the floor where it got clogged.
Oh, yeah.
And they were having sledgehammers. They had to remove the wall in order to get this thing out and, like, redo it. And I'm just like, no. Like, fuck right off. Anybody who's ever, like, looked at construction workers and been like, look at how lazy they are just sitting around. They should have done it by now. How would you do that work? How, like, I guarantee you on every single job like that, they're moving almost as fast as they can. Are there lazy people? For sure. But I guarantee you there are certain things that you do not understand about maintenance or how construction works where they had to break out a wall and you have an opinion on how fast that should go? Like, unless you got your fucking sledgehammer breaking concrete in order to get a Christmas tree that someone shoved down a garbage chute, you don't get to weigh in on how fast maintenance takes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for
Because you
sure.
don't know what's in there. Anyway, that's just kind of my villain of the week is just the absurdity of people on this group. I'm still a member, by the way. Cat left.
Oh my god! Send me screenshots.
Because I'm just like, mama.
I want to see those.
Yeah, so good. Apparently, it comes into my feed every once in a while. I'm like, all right. I show Cat. She's like, fucking hell. Mm-hmm. So that's my villain of the week. Yeah. So that's it. I think for us, Rebecca. Where can people reach you?
Oh, you can find me at Rebecca Reads at Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want. You can like the Facebook page. Not a lot going on there, but you can go like it if you want.
Like it.
Yeah, let Facebook know that you like me.
Yeah, absolutely. Even where can people grab you?
Not a huge. I guess if you want my Instagram, you can see the various Raptors games I go to. if you'd like to hear more, I have a comedy album on iTunes, Spotify called Hybrids. You can check that out if you'd like to hear more from me.
Yeah, absolutely. Check it out for sure. And you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy, Facebook, Twitter, CraigFaye.com for show dates. And that's it for The Villain Was Right this week. Stay tuned for next week. We got some absolutely fantastic episodes lined up for you. Watch Facebook and Twitter for the announcements of our coming lineup. And until then, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to not invite strangers to your house.
The Villain Was Right was produced by Andrew Ivamy for the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.